The solemnity of Christ the King is actually a pretty recent invention in the church. It was instituted by Pope Pius XI in 1925, and he did it in an encyclical called Quaes Primus, which addressed two things going on in the world, nationalism and secularism. And the funny thing is that we're still dealing with those just as much today. We now have cultures and even nations which are hostile towards the church and religion. Many people in the world want a world without any reference to a creator, without any reference to morals. Why? Why is there this push from even nations to get rid of the church and morality and a sense of religion? Well, it's because the church challenges people. It challenges the world to not set themselves up as gods, but rather to give Jesus Christ kingship. And that's why we celebrate this weekend the Feast of Christ the King. And where is this kingdom present? It's present in the church. Lumen Gentium 3 says, the church, or in other words, the kingdom of Christ now present in mystery, grows visibly through the power of God in the world. How is this kingdom of Jesus Christ the King present in the world in a visible way? Through you. Through your acts of stewardship in particular. It's very appropriate that we celebrate this weekend Commitment Sunday. This Sunday by which we have made our commitment for the 2017 stewardship year. Because it is these acts of stewardship that bring about the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Remember, number one, Jesus Christ isn't here anymore. Yes, he's present sacramentally in the Eucharist. But in the same way he was 2,000 years ago, no, he's not here. But you are. And he needs you to bring about his kingdom. You may remember in the Bible various stories that Jesus tells, parables that Jesus tells about a king who went away and he left his servants in charge and then he came back, right? Guys, that's an analogy for exactly what Jesus Christ did. He died, rose again, and ascended into heaven. In fact, he ascended into heaven and his apostles were really sad. They're like, why are you leaving us again? He said, don't worry, I'm going to send you another helper. The Paraclete, the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the one guiding still today the church and you and I. But he's left us as stewards. He's left you in charge of his kingdom. And you may remember that parable. We had it this last week in our readings where a king gives coins to three of his servants. And then he goes away and he says, before he goes away, he says, I want you to invest them so that I can see profit on my return. And he goes away and he comes back and the first one says, look, I've made you 10 more. And he says, very good. Take charge of 10 cities. The second one says, I've made you 5 more. He says, very good. Take charge of 5 cities. And the last one says, I knew you were a demanding man, so I went and buried the coin that you gave me. He says, take that coin away from him and give it to the guy who has 10. And they say, why? He already has 10. Because to those who have, more will be given, but to those who do not have, it will be taken away. Why? Because he didn't use the little he had profitably. And brothers and sisters, many of us are still in the same boat. We're wondering why God hasn't blessed us. Why we're not doing better in this life, maybe why our relationship with God isn't easier. Well, guys, if we can't be faithful with the one little thing that God has given us, or with the little amount of income that God has given us, if we're not faithful in that, what makes you think he's going to give you more? We've got to be faithful in the small things. And Jesus has given you 24 hours in a day. He's given you your job, your family. And he's told you to invest with all of these things in his kingdom. Not in this world, but in his kingdom. So when he returns, what profit will you be able to show him? Or will you be like this servant who said, well, I was scared to do anything with the little I have, so I just buried it? Brothers and sisters, your stewardship is what brings the gospel into the world. If we recognize that God has given us blessings and we start reprioritizing our lives based on that, we start making different choices because we realize that, you know what? All that I have really is from God and not my own. That starts really making an effect on people around us. I still remember when I was getting into high school, it was either freshman or sophomore year, there was a radical change in my father. He went from being a kind of cold man, unfeeling. He took us to church every Sunday, but he'd never take us to confession. And that all changed. And I look back and I wonder why. It's because he embraced this message of stewardship. He saw himself as an active participant in the church, and especially in his children's lives. He was able to bring the gospel to his children. His children bring the gospel to their children. I don't say this out of pride because I know many of you agonize over this, but I'm so consoled because all my siblings are still practicing their faith. Their children are on fire for their faith. They love their Catholicism. And I have to believe that some measure of that, not the totality of it, but some measure of that was when my father decided to embrace the stewardship way of life. You see, stewarding our gifts makes us reprioritize our lives. And that reprioritization, it comes across to our coworkers and our family members and our children and even our parents. You're preaching the gospel simply by making those decisions to put God first. You can go through your whole life either proclaiming a kingdom of God centered on you or centered on Him. Did you notice in the gospel today that three times people say to Jesus, "Save yourself"? First it was the Jewish leadership, then it was the soldiers. And then finally, these two thieves are hanging on each side of Jesus, and one of them says, "If you're God, why don't you save us and save yourself?" Brothers and sisters, we undergo the same temptation today. When we are met with financial difficulties or difficulties with health concerns, difficulties with how we manage our time, our first intuition is to fall to this temptation to save ourselves. And I gotta wonder, you know, Jesus was fully God and fully human, right? As he's hanging there on the cross in his humanity, do you think he was tempted in some way to do that? To kind of pull out his Godhead and say, okay, I'll take you up on the offer, I'll show you. Because he could. He could have brought himself down from that cross. And brothers and sisters, sometimes we're tempted to do the same, to put ourselves first instead of putting others first. But look at the consequences. If Jesus had put himself first, none of us would have been saved. And brothers and sisters, when we choose to put ourselves first, especially when we're stewarding the gifts that God has given us, other people's souls are at risk. And I know we don't make that connection in our head. We think, you know, if I don't give this $10 this week, that's not going to affect anybody's salvation. Really? You mean the guy that comes to my door and we buy a meal for and I'm able to sit down and talk to him about Jesus? That $10 didn't do that? Help with that? The $10 that kept the lights on for a few hours in the school where we're able to minister to 150 kids every day. You know, we celebrated last year 65 years in our school, and I was doing some math in my head because I wondered, walking through the school, I think about some of you went to school here. You're really old now, right? And I imagine you as little kids running through the school with multicolored walls. In fact, usually I imagine it in black and white. And you're running through the halls, and there's some nun coming down the hall with a ruler, you know. I don't know what it was like. I hear stories from you. But I think back to that long history and how beautiful it is that we have that long history. 1,500 students that have gone through our school. And you know, at first when I saw that number, when I figured it out, I thought, well, that doesn't seem like that many. But you got to remember, they went here for 8-9 years. And some of them on to high school, many of them, most of them, on to Bishop Carroll. That's 3.5 million days that students receive the gospel message. 23.5 million hours of Catholic formation that this parish has been able to offer. And that's just little old Christ the King. Isn't that beautiful? And it's not just the education. It's the countless families inside and outside of our parish that we have helped to keep the lights on or the gas on during the winter or put food on the table or Christmas presents under the tree. You see, it's tempting to look at what we have as our own. And we can do that. God has given us that choice. That's the nature of stewardship. He has handed it to you. It is in your hands, but what will you do with it? Will you recognize where it comes from and make a return of it, or take it as your own? In a few minutes, brothers and sisters, instead of reciting the Nicene Creed this weekend, we will be renewing our baptismal promises. And the reason for this is because to profess to be a Christian is to profess to be a steward. And this is not trying to sell the stewardship message. Jesus already did that. Over and over and over again in the Gospels, he makes it very clear to us that to be a baptized Christian is to be a steward. There is no separation between the two. And to follow Jesus Christ the King means he reigns in every aspect of our lives. That he gets control of my time, my talent, and my treasure. And I willingly give that control to him. Remember, Jesus isn't here, but you are. And he left you in charge of his resources. Will you participate in bringing the gospel into the world by actively stewarding your gifts? Will you use those gifts to touch the lives of others, or will you use them to serve yourself? On this Commitment Sunday, Jesus is waiting to hear your answer.